about to win so big. Talking about hydraulic money.
Coming in, tell me what's the program. 25 bags of kush, yeah, get with the program. Shorty want that wave, get the program. Shorty want that wave, what's the program? Throwing through the air, what's the program? Fucking up the check.
Welcome to the Terror Dome, baby.
We swarm,
welcome to the Terror Dome.
We swarm, let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby, all day long.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode with the TTD boys. We in these streets. And when the homie, Jacquay Aline, says he want to pull up, you let the homie pull up. We got a good one tonight, baby. We're going to be talking all sorts of things with fam. Jacquay, how you living, my guy?
Oh, shit, I'm living, man. I'm living. How you living?
Good, man. Thanks for coming on tonight, man.
Shit, I appreciate it.
So, Jacquay, tell the people where you're originally from.
I'm originally from Virginia Beach, Virginia. I was born in New York, but I don't claim New York. So, moved to Virginia when I was 3, and then ever since then, I just say, hey, I'm from Virginia. That's how I've been riding. That's who I've been rocking with already. Gotta bring it over west, you know what I mean?
Which school did you go to? Which high school?
I went to Ocean Lakes. Had a lot of star power at that time. I don't know what happened.
Who else came from Ocean Lakes?
It was me, Levante Taylor, Giovanni Simmons, Jason Lewis. Who else came from Eric Crosby. Taj was over there. Then obviously he went to Bishop. Kalen was over there, then went to Bishop. I think that's like the most notable ones y'all might know.
Got some ballers down there.
Yeah. Oh, and Derek. Derek Nighty was from there. A couple of guys that were older than me, too, that I didn't mention.
Yeah, they really had some star power then. Yeah, y'all were good as fuck.
Oh, yes, sir. Dogs. It was like that. I mean, we looking terrible now. Looking terrible.
Did you play both ways in high school or just defense?
I played both. I played just defense my sophomore and most of my junior year. And then my junior year, I finally went back over to offense for like some plays. And then my senior year, I played both ways, but I rotated with another guy on defense.
What was you playing on offense?
Receiver.
Man, you know damn well you ain't got hands, bro.
You crazy. I got, man. Hey. Y'all, hey. Y'all better ask about me. Y'all better, you can ask Moop. You can ask Real. If y'all can call, y'all can get T Gray personal number and ask him who had the best hands in that room. Me.
Oh, he putting it out there.
Letting it hang. I respect it. That's what we do here.
My hands crazy, man.
Jacquay, who was your recruiter from Virginia Tech?
Coach Steinspring and Zon Burden. Good people too. Good people.
Yeah, we've heard a lot of good
things. Doing his thing.
Did you have any other schools you were looking at other than Tech?
I had Oregon I was looking at and Kentucky I was looking at. Those are like my other two outside of Tech.
You said your top three was Tech,
Oregon, and Kentucky.
What sold you on Virginia Tech versus Kentucky or even Oregon? I mean, because Oregon was popping.
What sold me on? Well, I'll start off with Oregon. Oregon was my dream school growing up. You know what I mean? Like, before, a lot of people, you know, say, oh, you only wanted to go to Oregon because of the jerseys. Well, before Oregon had all the flashy jerseys, I was an Oregon fan since, like, Dennis Dixon. So, like, 06. And, you know, I don't know what it was. It was just, I wanted to go there. And then Kentucky, I was just, you know, they were showing a lot of love in SEC ball. So I'm like, I'm trying. Maybe I'll think about that too. And then Tech, you know, just the history of like defensive players and a lot of guys from the area. So I put them into consideration too. And then I just always heard good things about T-Gray. And then Moot kind of sold me on them too. So a lot of people got to thank Mook.
Who'd you room with when you came to Tech?
Chris Cunningham.
Good dude. Played tight end. Went to ODU with Kuma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, another good Hokie.
Straight out of Duval.
So when you got to Tech, what was that like for you being under Bud T. Gray?
When I got there and playing under him, you know, it was great. Like, even to this day, I've had a lot of different DB coaches in my college career. And even when I left Tech, I would still use some of the stuff that T. Gray had taught me at Montana State. And because that's what always worked for me, and that's what worked best for me. So I just used some of the stuff and ran with it. And then playing for Coach Foster and playing for a legend, you know, a lot of the times, I sit in my room even to this day at like 25. I still wish I could play for both those guys. And I just wish, you know, things had went different, but stuff happens for a reason. And, you know, you can't dwell on the past too much, but I enjoyed playing for him at that time.
Was it Coach Foster that moved you to Rover?
No, T. Gray did.
T. Gray moved you to Rover. Okay.
Yeah. So when I came in, I was at Free. Then a while later, moved to Rover. Then like two or three weeks after that, moved to Nickel. And then like a week after Nickel, I got moved to Corner. And then the new staff came, and then Scott moved back to Rover.
So you actually got some burn your freshman year. You played quite a bit, especially on like special teams. And then you got some bowl action and stuff like that. It was really looking up for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell a lot of people, you know, I played more my freshman year than I did my sophomore year.
You know, going into your sophomore year, you'd played 12 games your freshman year. And then you played more your freshman year than your sophomore year. Was there, you know, something with the coaches not jiving or?
Coaches, man. I was just being told one thing and then being showed another thing. You know, I was told before the season, hey, we're going to need you to rotate with Rail, and, you know, because we don't want him playing all these snaps. And I was like, all right, cool. You know, I'm a sophomore. I don't mind rotating as a sophomore. So I was cool with that. And then I got suspended for 4 games in the beginning of the season. No behavior reason. It was just like the 27 credit hour rule. I had like 24 credits instead of the 27. And so I had to miss the 4 games, tried to appeal it. And then when I came back, you know, I was traveling again, but it was just like, telling me all this, that, and the third, all this other stuff. And, you know, I was even trying to like go in for like extra film so I can play, you know, but it was always somebody had to do some, and I ain't really trying to like make an excuse for myself or anything like that, or, you know, point the blame at somebody, but I was told one thing and other things ended up happening.
So was that ultimately what led to your decision to transfer? Like what were the factors in that?
Yeah, that was like the main reason why I left. You know, it was just that was one of the reasons. And then I knew I was gone. The game we played, Duke, Real got ejected, and then they didn't put me in. And then the next week we had Georgia Tech, and they ended up moving Mook from his nickel spot to Rover for Georgia Tech. And then that's when I was like, yeah, I'm gone. You know, like I said, I tried to watch extra film, get in the extra time, you know, things of that nature. And everybody was just like, oh, we can't trust you. I'm like, how you can't trust me? Because you're not giving me, you know what I'm saying? You're not giving me a chance to show anything. You feel me? I'm going to mess up. Practice ain't the same as the game. So if something happened in the game, obviously I'm going to learn from a mistake in the game. So it was just all different when it was all said and done.
So you weren't getting the same respect then from the new regime as from the Beamer days with Torian and them. So you were just kind of like, find something else.
Yeah, that was basically like one of the main reasons. It was another reason, but it was nothing bad. It was just we just came back from break, and I had got a picture of the depth chart, and I had seen what the depth chart was, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm gone.
Yeah, I would have took that as a slide as well.
Yeah. I ain't going to say what player it is. I'm pretty sure he don't care if I told y'all anyway, but he was in the coach's office, the defensive coach's office, sent me a picture of the depth chart. My name was at the two spots still. I said, oh, yeah, I'm gone. Like, y'all move somebody from offense to defense, and he in front of me? I said, okay.
They was cool. Playing favorites?
I mean, that's what it felt like. Some people might say they wasn't, but shit, to me, it did.
Yeah, it always kind of, from the outside looking in, looked like Fuente and co. were really big on people being yes men, and, you know, they were looking for those type of guys, and they would favor them.
See, that's the problem. I ain't no yes man. That's the bad part. You can't get me to be a yes man. I'll listen. I'm coachable. Don't get me wrong. But I ain't no yes man.
Yeah, and I think it's ridiculous to even ask somebody to be like that myself.
So how hard was it to leave Virginia Tech?
Ah, man. it was very hard. You know, like, if I'm being honest with you, I didn't really want to leave, but it's like my future we talking about. Like, I want to play ball. I want to show that I can play. And if you're not giving me that opportunity and that chance, then I'm going to just go ahead and leave and go somewhere where I feel wanted and feel like I can do something. You know, like, I feel like I'm contributing. And so I just talked to my mom and talked to some of my coaches. I was like, look, I'm thinking about leaving. I don't think I could do another year just sitting back and watching everybody, you know, make plays. And I'm trying to be the one out there making plays too, helping the team out. And I ain't getting that chance. So it was a very tough decision for me to make.
You couldn't do another year of them silent lunches?
Oh, I couldn't do that another year either.
Couldn't do it. What were some of the other schools you were looking at when you went into the transfer portal?
So it was obviously Montana State. There was it was Marshall. ODU had hit me up, but I think I got blocked from going there. And then I tried to go to GMU. That DB room was full. So, I get that. I ain't tripping off of that. And then who else? I'm missing somebody. But, yeah, those are like my main schools that I was looking at. Oh, and Norfolk State was looking at me, but I was like, nah, too close.
You don't want to be a Spartan?
Too close.
I feel you. What made you choose Montana State? No disrespect. What made you choose Montana State over the Marshall Thundering Herd?
Well, I wanted to go further south. You feel me? So I was like, man, if I ain't going further south, then I'm going to just go out west. And then in my mind, I'm like, also, I'm not trying to go back in them hills, in them mountains. So I'm going to just go out west. And I needed a different scenery, so I was like, I'll just take a different scenery, call it a day. And that's what I did. But, you know, I tell people sometimes, you know, part of me selfishly wish I picked Marshall and went to go play with Cornell and go over there. But then another part of me is like, well, I wouldn't have my son. So it's kind of like I'm just torn between both, you know what I'm saying, both decisions. Like, if I say I wish I would have went there, then I wouldn't have my son. But at the same time, you know, my future, I think my future and everything, how everything has been going, it'd be a little different.
Nah, I feel you, because I didn't graduate from Marshall. I made a lot of young mistakes. I liked to party too much. I was too social. I didn't take class serious enough. So I came home embarrassed. I felt like a failure. But now, if I would have graduated, and we talked about this, if I would have went the path of that, graduating, doing such and such and such and such, one, I wouldn't be here on this podcast right now, and I love doing this podcast. Two, I wouldn't have all my adult best friends, wouldn't have them, not one of them. And I mean, I have life is really good right now. So, I mean, life could have been good then too, but I'll take what I got now because I like it a lot.
Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm glad, you know, I have my son here, and that's the only reason why I'll be coming back and forth to Montana, because my son is out here. So, you know, I'm thankful to have my son, but, you know, I want everything to be, I'm trying my best for everything to be different so my son can be like, yeah, my dad was a pro player. Like, not even just about my son, my mama, my aunt, my sister, all my sisters, all my brothers, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. So that's just how I be feeling sometimes.
So you go out to Montana State and you had a pretty good career there. Like, your stats kind of speak for themselves, and you really balled out in the playoffs, especially. So who was your defensive back coach out there, and how did those styles differ from at Tech?
I had three DB coaches at the time. So one of them was Mark Orfey. He was a GA at South Carolina before I got to Montana State. And then he ended up being the corners coach at MSU. So it was him, and it was another guy named Kyle Reisinger, and he played like D2 ball in Minnesota, because he was from Minnesota. And then my second year at MSU, it was Coach Kyle again, and then Coach Ione, who played at Montana State in like the early 2000s, All-American legend out there. And he's at Boise State right now, so he's the safeties coach there. And the difference between MSU and Tech is just some of the stuff that we were taught, techniques and, you know, ways of playing the game and certain things, how to approach certain things. So this is some stuff I had to unlearn and relearn. Some stuff I just did anyway because it felt more comfortable. And I felt like my reaction time and whatever I needed to do was a little better than what they was teaching me. So before I did it, I would ask. And it was just like, hey, if that worked for you, that's fine.
People think Montana State, they're like, where's that? But like it's serious out there. I watched this 40-minute documentary earlier, the Miracle in Missoula.
Oh, yeah, Missoula. Yeah, definitely.
And, like, it was very eye-opening to me. Like, football, it runs it up there. Like that whole – like, it's definitely a cult following. Like, people were like it rivals like what you hear about North Dakota State, like minus the Natties. But like, it's very, very strong football culture.
Yeah, no, oh, for sure. Like, even when I came here, like my first game for Gold Rush, I think it was like, I mean, to many people, this is not a lot, but for an FCS program, it's a good amount. But it was like 17,000 people in the stands. You feel me? So I was like, oh, all right, like, I see where this is going. You come second to nobody. You and University of Montana, y'all the only D1 schools in the state. Other than us two, I mean, you got a couple of NAIA schools, but everybody want to come to the big school games. So then that's what happens. And it's bigger than what people think it is.
So 2018, you had one hell of a year. You had 5 interceptions. And if we're keeping stat this year, Virginia Tech only has 3. So you had more in 1 year than our whole team has this year. Almost 40 tackles. I mean, you were out there really doing the damn thing. You were all Big Sky. I mean, forcing fumbles, getting fumbles in the playoffs. Like, take us through that year, man. Where, like, apparently you had some good teammates around you as well. And you guys made a little bit of a run, man.
Yeah, so my first year at MSU, Troy Anderson was our quarterback, because the main quarterback that they had, you know, he wasn't getting it done in the classroom. So they just asked Troy, hey, can you play quarterback? They should have asked me, if I'm being honest, but it ain't happened that way. And then so Troy was our quarterback, and then I had a couple guys on defense that were playmakers. And me personally, I don't think 2018 was my best year outside of the interceptions. Like, just how I was playing, my style of play, how it was and stuff like that. Other than that, you know, when you look at the stats, it's like, okay, you had a solid year, but the type of player I know I could be, I just wasn't happy with it. But, you know, I tried to contribute as much as I could and make the plays that came my way. That's what happened.
Do you feel like people were trying not to throw at you as much in 2019? Like they watched the tape?
No, now that I think about it, I think so. Because it wasn't that many deep balls thrown other than like probably NDSU and NAU because they throw the ball like 50 times a game. Yeah, but other than that, I don't think nobody really threw the ball deep for real. And so I just and in 2019, my focus that year was to show that I'm a good tackler and I'm a hitter. Because the year before that, I didn't show that. So I won't really focus on the interceptions and everything. I was just like, all right, I showed I can catch the ball and make plays in the air. Now I want to show that I can come downhill and make tackles.
And you certainly did that because that very first play from scrimmage for Montana in 2019, you took that man's life and his soul when that ball went flying for a fumble recovery by Montana State.
You know, it's crazy, bro, on the Packers now. And he ended up leaving, going to Nebraska. So, I mean, shoot, I take pride in that. You feel me?
That 2018 year was crazy, though. I mean, y'all lost to, what, Idaho State? That was your fourth loss, and you couldn't lose a single game the rest of the year, and y'all had to run the table to make the playoffs, which set up the miracle in Missoula.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, like, man, we got to get – we getting cooked. Like, we getting torched, bro, 22-0 by halftime or 22-7 at half. We getting torched. And then, I don't know, they just folded.
Y'all broke their will, man.
I mean, that's what it was, man. And their stadium is, like, real loud. Hey, the stadium hold, like, 26K. And it's probably one of the loudest stadiums I played in with only 26,000. But that team was – they wasn't no slouch. I don't respect them like that. But they definitely wasn't slouching.
Man, that nose guard came off that ball and popped that running back.
Yeah, Big Tuck, Tucker Yates, man. It's crazy because, bro, I think, bro, like an elementary school teacher now.
Really?
I'm serious. Think, bro,
that's crazy.
Yeah, so he did his job. And the dude who recovered the fumble, the last fumble for the last play of the game, he recovered the first one in 2019. When I made the first dude fumble, he recovered that one.
Man, he had some good luck. He's always in the right place.
For real. That's what you call running to the ball.
So what was your draft process like?
I mean, I didn't really have one, you feel me, because of COVID. Like, I was training and, you know, I was just waiting and waiting. And I had, like, a couple calls, but nothing ever fell through, so I wouldn't say I never had one.
Were you guys having to like film yourself running 40s and doing three cone and stuff and email that over?
Yeah, I had to film my 40 late. I had to film all my three cone late because I had pulled my hamstring, I think like 2 weeks before our actual pro day. So I had pulled my hamstring and I couldn't even do anything. That was the first time I ever pulled my hamstring, pulled anything. So then I had to film everything late and do it. Ever since then, ain't nothing really happened.
I know you said you've been looking at the XFL and USFL and things like that. What were those talks like?
I had, like, good conversations with the XFL coaches. You know, outside of that, I ain't really heard it. I probably, like, heard a little something from the XFL, but not too much. And I didn't get, like, the draft pool invite. And then, so I've been going to, like, other camps and stuff. You know, just trying to get my name out there because I'm not really big in posting on social media. You know, a lot of people tell me, oh, post on social media. You got to, you know what I'm saying, make sure and show them that you're still working out, which I still do. It's just I'm not super big on social media, you know what I mean? So
I just try to maintain, you know, my body size, my weight, and just my footwork. And, you know, just hopefully someday the call comes. Like recently, I want to say last month, maybe I went to a CFL tryout, cooked everybody in the one-on-ones, didn't allow no catches. Still ain't heard nothing for real from that. And then I went to an FCF thing. They called me back, but I was hesitant to go because it was just unorganized. Like some of the guys was leaving in the middle of the camp, and they gave us like a break or whatever. And then I tore that up, and I was on like Destroying's video and everything, just clamping whatever receiver came in front of me. So I just keep trying to get my name out there, and you know, I'm getting kind of old in football years, so something got to happen soon.
Well, hopefully it breaks away pretty soon. And you were talking about some of these leagues being unorganized, and the USFL kind of surprised me a little bit. I actually went down doing some work in around the Birmingham, Alabama area, and I was staying in the Marriott, and they have all the same USFL teams are all there in the same hotel. And like, it's real crazy. Like, they've got the lobby basically blocked off during season where guys are weighing in and stuff. And it's kind of weird, man.
Well, yeah, they did that to save costs so they wouldn't fold.
That makes sense.
Yeah, the XFL was doing fine, but it had to fold because they have, you know what I'm saying, they ain't have a lot of money.
Yeah, well, COVID killed them because they were actually, I feel like they were rocking, like they were really gaining momentum. People were rocking with the product, and then COVID happened, they had to shut down.
Right,
yeah, exactly. They were filling up stadiums, the XFL teams were.
Yeah, I went to some decent Defender games at Audi Field, D.C. That shit was live, bro. Shit was lit.
Yeah, I saw the St. Louis Battlehawks play. That was fucking awesome. They had pretty decent TV deal, too. So I think they're legal to do good this go around with the rocket to him.
Yeah, St. Louis did a good job pecking their little spot out. So you can't say no fans want to go to a game because St. Louis got something to say about that.
Yeah, we were packing that stadium. It was kind of fun. I'm not going to lie, dude.
Yeah, that it was definitely having them parts, for real.
Yeah, I enjoyed it was that, and then what was the other one that if ended up folding, but P.J. Walker was in that joint, Cam Phillips.
That's the Houston Roughnecks.
Yeah, that's XFL.
Was it? Yeah. But no, but there was the other one, the one that the dude from NBC, Bill Polian was in charge of. I can't remember. The Alliance, American Alliance, Football Alliance, I don't remember, but AFL.
The AAF, yeah.
Yeah, they weren't bad.
No, that was smooth. It was real smooth, but they were talking about someone like the NFLPA and trying to work with them, and NFLPA was like, nah.
But they are working with the XFL, right?
Oh, yeah. They got like a little something with them. I can't remember what it is, but they kind of work with them, yeah.
Yeah, like I think that they can like basically fluctuate. Like if somebody gets cut from the practice squad, then they're able to jump into the pool and stuff.
Yeah, they got a little thing with the IFL too. So they got a partnership with them. And then you can jump back and forth from that league to this league.
So you're trying to continue your career. And as anyone would. So how are you staying in game shape?
Running 50-yard sprints and doing field drills, stuff like that. And just trying to, you know, lift weights, not too heavy, not too light. And then one week I might go heavy. Another week I'll bring it down about 50%. And then that's usually how I do it. I was in like a couple of flag leagues just to, you know, run around, keep moving. Got too cold and stopped going. Just told the people I ain't, it's getting a little too cold for me. And I'm not trying to hurt myself or nothing like that. So it was cool. That's what I've been doing. And like I said, I've been to and from Virginia, here in Virginia. So that's kind of like the main ways I try to stay in game shape, the best way I can.
Canadian coaches, like CFL coaches, like Cornell Brown or somebody like that were to listen to this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to them to get yourself in a tryout or in Germany or the XFL or whatever?
You ain't got to look too far for somebody who can play both in multiple positions. I can play safety. I can play corner. I can play nickel. I can guard the quick guy. I can guard a long guy. Whoever you need me to guard, I guard. If you need me to come down here, I'll do that for you too. If you need me to come down here from safety, I can recognize plays well. I watch a lot of film. And like I said, if you need a corner who understands the game, or you need a safety who understands the game, I can play anywhere you need me to. I can return kicks, anything. I do it all.
Yeah, you had some pretty decent stats on returning kicks at Montana State as well.
Yeah. And then they took me off. I don't know why. Actually, I do know why, but can't really blame you for that. You can, but you can't. our kick return team wasn't consistent. So I had to find ways to really make something happen. And that game, the hole opened like the Red Sea, but I missed it by like a second. And then my coach was mad about that. So he took me off. I don't know why he took me off punt though. That one I don't know.
Man, we're definitely rooting for you, dude. Like, we think that, you know, we've seen you play. How much we appreciate Jacquay for coming on here tonight and talking to us, and how much we're rooting for him to make it and fulfill his dream.
Yeah, if any coach listening to this, any of y'all hear anything about this, or, you know, if anybody knows any coaches, send them their way, man. Get a hold of him. He'll get you the film. Let's get our guy going.
For real, and I appreciate that. You know what I mean? I'm here. If you need it, I'm here.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jacquay Aileen, former Virginia Tech player. Played Rover for us. Did a pretty damn good job, too. So thanks for coming on tonight, man.
Appreciate y'all for having me on.
Yes, sir.
As always, go Hokies.
And go Cat.
Yeah, go Bobcats.
FTG, cuz.